Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Fly Away. Are you going to fly away? I'm flying with you.
So pleased. She's here, she's there, she's got tinsel in her hair. It's the wonderful Linda Pollock. Hooray. How are you, Linda?
I am ready for a new year coming, are you?
Very much so.
I've just got to get through this bit where we've got all shit lying around. Oh, we need to tidy it up.
Oh, it's nothing. How was your Christmas, my love?
It was all right, you know, it was good. It was good, and I'm glad it's gone because such a lot of fuss, isn't there, beforehand?
Such a lot of fuss.
I'm watching the telly and it's all spend, 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 and no one's got the money this year. No one's got the money. So I'd be glad just to have a little bit of peace and quiet and for the relentless pestering from the advertisers to stop.
Right, thank you. That's for bringing us down there. What I want to tell you is that I've just got back from Denmark. I had a little 24 hours there to go and visit my brother. And
24 hours was enough, was it?
Oh, that was... it was lovely. I tell you what, I want to say that, you know, we're out of Europe now, but I think it's so wonderful that this country allows people to enter dishevelled, distraught, arrived by the most ghastly means imaginable. Still, that's Ryanair for you, isn't it? Would you say... I use Ryanair, and I don't want to be too harsh on the place, but would you say that probably as a general rule, the better, more expensive airlines have the better pilots?
I wonder. I don't know whether they get paid per trip or whatever, and then you might get more money for flying Ryanair.
That's a good point.
Do you know what I mean?
But
I don't guess they get paid like that.
For the £49, whatever it cost me to get to Denmark, I was fully expecting to go up and see a fucking cat in the cockpit. But anyway, we got on there, but they... Ryanair, I mean... They charge a fortune for some horrible red hot panini thing.
It's just the way.
Water.
Yes, and the way they herd you into the sort of holding pen, and then it's just go, find your seat, go.
That's it, go. It's a bloody scramble. I mean, they wanted to charge for using the toilet like £1 for a wee. £1 for a wee! I farted twice, it come to 64 pence. Unbelievable. And I've got a feeling with Ryan, if the oxygen masks fell down, they'd go, no, special dispensation, you can pay with euros or in sterling. You know what I mean?
You can only breathe in, I'm afraid, for
you
free.
You can only breathe in, that's right. Anyway, all that misery aside, let's get on with the spooky pookie. We have got a message from, this is from my old friend, I've known him a little bit, Bradley Holcombe.
Right.
And he sent this in. Please put the spooky music on, because this is proof positive, ladies and gentlemen. Story 4.
Finally, here we go.
Go.
When my daughter was small, I'm not sure how old, but she'd not long moved after her cotton into a normal bed, maybe 1.5 years or so. Too much maths.
Yeah. Bradley, come on, get to the meat of the thing.
We were given a framed wall hanging as a gift.
Here we go.
It was a lovely thing which had my daughter's name on it. Family and love type words and flowers, etc. Obviously meant a lot to you. A night or two later... Family love type words.
Yeah, love, that sort of thing. Yeah.
A night or two later, my daughter had a night terror and woke up crying and saying, Monster! Stop.
Right.
This monster. Was she possessed by that guy, Eric? What's his name?
Eric Hall. Monster. Emmett. Monster. Yeah.
This happened for a few nights and she kept pointing to a certain area of her room.
Yeah.
We'd calm her down and just put it down to her having a change in sleep patterns, new bed and all that.
Yeah.
This lasted a good week or so until one day I was walking past her room and I could hear a rattling.
Oh, Christ.
Obviously bricking it, I went into her room to try to figure out what it was.
Yeah.
The wall hanging was vibrating.
Okay, go on.
I put my hand on it and it stopped. A bit freaked out, but I put it down maybe to a lorry or a bus idling and causing the vibrations from outside. A little later, I heard it again. I went to the front of the house to see if there was a bus idling outside, but there wasn't. When I went back to her room, it was still vibrating, so I filmed it. Mm. I couldn't figure out what was making it do this. The wall wasn't vibrating, so I immediately took it off the wall and put it in the garage.
That night, and from that point on, my daughter slept soundly. Me and my wife spoke about it, and we realised that the area she was pointed to when she was saying, "Monster, monster, Emmeth. No, I'm maid queen. I'm the manager for a while." But it was Queen's manager at one stage, was where, in fact, just stop for a second, just get back to Eric Hall.
Yes.
Monster. He always claimed that Killer Queen was written about him, didn't he? Famously.
Yeah, because he liked champagne.
Yeah, that's it. Anyway, let's get back to you, Bradley.
I like a Moët and Chandon monster.
Monster, Emmeth. Anyway, listen, do anyone remember Eric Hall? Eric Hall, yeah, with the cigar. Anyway, me and my wife spoke about it. Music, please. Me and my wife spoke about it, and we realised that the area she was pointing to when she was saying monster...
Monster.
...was where the frame was hanging. No idea what that was about or what was in the frame, but it has not seen the light of day since.
Maybe check yourself.
Now, ye... of little faith, yeah. Linda Bloody Pollock.
Yeah.
I have the actual recording here.
Of the traffic noise, the low-level traffic
of
noise.
Of the traffic noise.
Have making listen, it bounce, yeah.
Listen to this. Hold on, I've bloody well lost. Here we are. Not only that. Hold on, it's not traffic noise.
Yes, it is.
This is the video. I've got an actual video that I'm going to show. This, Linda is now watching an actual video of what Bradley said. We're going to get Bradley on the phone in a minute.
Well,
so here we go. Listen to this. What are you seeing there, Linda, please?
Well, I'm not seeing an awful lot. I can hear that vibrating sound for sure.
Yes, can you see what we're looking at? We're looking
at
a picture
it's
with
a
love, et
cetera. Love and that on it, yeah.
Love and that on it. He's such a romantic, this Bradley. There, that's his daughter.
Is Eric
speaking.
Hall? All right, so he's holding it and the noise stops. Okay, so what we've established there is that somehow there is a low-level vibration through that wall.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, from spirit.
Well, can you hear traffic noise in the background? There could be works going on further down that you can't hear now, but a dog could hear it.
Let's just have another go, shall we? I don't hear any bloody traffic there, look.
Listen.
No.
Oh.
What?
Is he in a semi?
I don't know.
Washing machine's on next door.
Well, how come then? Look, there's his hand stopping the bloody thing. He's such a romantic. You can also see what it actually says in this frame picture. It says, baby, joy, little girl, love. You know, he's such
family
a romantic.
Family in that.
Family in that. He's a Welsh fella. Anyway, look, I tell you what. I mean, it's not conclusive. I will give you that.
No.
But could it be brown noise? What is this brown noise?
Well, it's very hard to tell in a child's bedroom because such a lot of what brown noise does happens anyway occurs naturally in children.
What the hell is bloody brown noise?
Is such low frequency noise. It's one of the very many weapons. You know, Kate Bush did a song about, they told us that they found some music that could kill someone. That one, yeah?
No.
Yeah, well, there's a song called that, Experiment right. Something, right?
Okay.
And it's about weapons that were used for distance fighting.
Yeah.
They had a weapon that could kill you from a distance,
yes.
Like be so high frequency.
This will be over in a minute, listen.
Go deaf or whatever.
Yeah.
They had the pink noise. Did you hear about this one?
No.
Apparently, they had a weapon...
I've heard pink. It is a fucking noise, you're right.
They had a weapon that could make you suddenly go gay for the person next to you. Yeah.
You're kidding, this really exists.
It's true, look it up, Google it. But be careful Googling, don't do it at work.
Because brown noise sounds a bit like this.
ground noise would make you lose control of your bowels, low frequency noise.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so who knows? In kids' rooms, that happens a lot.
She does know a thing or two.
Science.
Anyway, listen, brown noise or not, let's get Bradley on the Zoom. Bradley, can you please... Hello there. First of all, Bradley, where are you phoning from?
From Wolverhampton.
You lucky bastard. Bradley, I've given a brief outline to your terrifying story, and I think this is proof positive. I have seen the video of the shaking picture, but I can't play that out to people unless they come on Patreon and want to pay extra for seeing a video of it. Bradley, do you believe then that somehow this, obviously you believe this, somehow this picture was haunted in some way?
Well, I'm not really a believer in things like that.
Well, just a second. With all due respect, Bradley, I've just sat through your story. It sounds to me very much like a haunted picture made by the sister-in-law. What do you mean? What do you mean you don't believe it?
Well, I'm not really a believer in those kind of things. You know, it's I have an interest in it, but, you know, when it comes to actually 100% believing it,
What do you think it was then, Bradley? Clever clogs. What do you think it was?
I can't. I can't really explain it, so I've got no idea.
Can you? No, you can't, Bradley. Can you? And I can, because I'm a man with certain gifts. I'm telling you, the bloody thing was haunted. Rather disappointing to come on what is a paranormal podcast, Bradley, and be quite forthright and quite keen to send me a video when, in actual fact, you think it's a lot of bollocks, do you? What do you put it down to, Bradley? The expert in these things. What would you say, Bradley? Because we're all waiting. We're all waiting for an explanation. If it's not the supernatural, what was it, Bradley?
Well, I'll take your word for it. To be fair, you know, you are the expert.
Yes, I am.
So. I'll take your word for it, and
being ironic, Bradley. You're being ironic with that statement.
No, not at all.
Yeah, well, wipe that smirk off your face. Come round and hit you with your sister-in-law's tiled picture. Bradley has a number of other scary stories, and we might come back, because I was convinced by some of them, but not if you're going to poo-poo it, Bradley.
No, I don't. I'm not poo-pooing it. It's,
have you got another one which is maybe that does concern you more?
I've got one that happened quite a few years ago that I really can't explain, but I mean, when I talk about it, it's kind of obvious what it is.
Please. Is it when you say it's obvious, is it going to be something that's just going to, you know, underwhelm me?
Hopefully not, no.
Well, then let's
It was some years ago. I was dating a girl. We split up for a while. It was a number of months we broke up for.
I'm so sorry.
I mean, it was a nice house at first. You know, we thought it was fine, but once we started living there, we realised it was really quite creepy. We'd hear noises in the night, you know, as if people were walking across the landing, and there was a converted loft.
Yeah,
but yeah, we didn't use it because it was not nice. You walked in there, and it just felt horrible.
An eerie feeling. Cold?
No, just as if you know when you get sent to the headmaster's office, or so, yes. You know, that kind of dread.
I know. You didn't. No one like. Was it everyone who didn't feel like that? I mean, did everyone feel like that when they went up there?
Yeah. The girl at the time felt it as well. So, it was not nice.
I know. I'm familiar with this. Yeah, go on.
But yeah, the noises in the night were so bad. Sometimes we'd actually push the bed up against the door because it sounded like there was actually people in the house.
Oh my God.
Right. Yeah. But one night we were sleeping, and I woke up and I turned over to her.
Yes.
And I just couldn't move. I saw a woman stood over her. So like, you know, the typical flowy dress, kind of transparent. Couldn't make out a face, but her hand was over her belly,
over my girlfriend's
belly.
Yeah.
And that was it. And I did that stupid thing that people do in films where you just shut your eyes and hope it goes away. And when I opened them, it had gone. So it worked.
And you have no shadow of a doubt, pardon the pun, that this spooky lady, you weren't dreaming.
No, I was aware. I could feel how scared I was. Like.
She wasn't translucent. She was absolutely. I mean, was she solid? You know, I mean,
not fully solid. You know, there was kind of, you could not see through her, but she wasn't clear.
Yeah, translucent. I believe that's
just, okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. But it actually got a bit worse then, because I found out a week or so later.
Yes.
My girlfriend was pregnant.
That would be worse than the scary lady, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, she had her hand over her belly, you know, so it was as if she was pointing it out to me. You know
and
what I mean?
And did you have the other hand pointing at your winkle, going, you should have put something on there, you silly bastard.
It wasn't mine.
It wasn't yours.
No, it was the other guy that she was seeing while we were split.
Well, in many ways, that was a blessing, wasn't it?
Yeah. So she did me a favour, to be fair. But...
did she lean over and go, don't worry, it's the other fella. You're in the clear. Don't worry. Get yourself a bit of kit. I would. Bloody hell. Really? So hold on. So when you woke, do you woke up the girl and said...
I didn't tell her.
You didn't say anything about it?
No, I didn't tell anybody because I thought I'd look nuts.
Did the lady, sorry, this is the bit that intrigues me, never mind the spooky stuff, did the lady who you were in bed with, she ended up with the other fella, did she?
Well, she didn't end up with me, so I don't know.
You know what happened. Yeah. So this is not very paranormal. Was she having sexual relations with the other fella while you were going out with her?
No, that had ended just before.
Okay. So, really, a lucky escape for you, old son. Bradley, I want to thank you very, very much. That I believe you, because I'm looking at Brad. You people at home can't see this, but I'm looking at Bradley on the camera now. Pop that away while I'm speaking to you, Bradley. But he looks very, very sincere. I'm looking in his eye. No, as I say, put that away. And he really does look sincere. And... Bradley, if anything else happens to you, would you please let us know?
Yes, we'll do. Definitely.
All right, Bradley. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
From Fate and Fortune magazine, please, Linda, regale us.
Visitor from Hell. This is the testimony of Sharon Cumberpatch from Birmingham. We don't have an age.
Right.
Sitting in the kitchen, listening to the radio with a cuppa, I looked into the back garden and smiled. It was a beautiful summer's day, and my 12-year-old son, Kieran,
that's how you say... Oh, come on, for Christ's sake. Linda. Come on, Linda. Raise the game.
Was playing outside with a few of his friends.
Yeah.
D-Ron and Dooms. It was lovely to see them laughing and giggling together, but I didn't know what they were actually up to.
Mm.
Big mistake. One of Kieran's mates had brought a Ouija board made out of cardboard with him, and they were playing with it, trying to summon spirit. Being kids, they were really just mucking around, not expecting anything to actually happen. But Kieran told me, much later, that he'd felt uneasy from the start and had sat to one side, quietly scrolling through his phone while the others played with the board. Bullshit! That's what kids always say. It was nothing to do with me.
Yeah,
I didn't
nothing to do with me.
I was boring. I didn't even know. It just didn't feel right, Mommy told me with a shudder. It felt really bad. He was right, but we had no idea back then what this game had inadvertently unleashed. Kieran's behaviour suddenly seemed to change. He was unusually grumpy. Hang on, so he started out as 12. He was unusually grumpy, bickering with his older brother Owen, 15, about what to watch on television and snapping at me when I asked him what he wanted for breakfast. It was out of character for him, but I didn't think anything of it. No, because it sounds like just being a teenager, you tit.
Yeah, no, but he's done a Ouija board. You're going to... You're judging this before we've even got to the end of it. Yes, it does sound like teenage boys. Yes, right, go on, carry on.
Then one evening, he stuck his head into the living room when I was watching telly with my partner and Owen. "Can I have a word, Mum?" he asked. I was delighted. Finally, my boy was going to let me in and we could get to the bottom of what was going on with him. But what he told me made my blood run cold. "I've been seeing things, Mum," he muttered. "Spooky things." "What do you mean?"
I asked nervously. He hesitated. "I've seen this black figure at the end of my bed," he told me. "Sometimes I've felt it pin me down on my bed. It's huge, with big horns and red eyes. I've been wanting to tell you for ages, but I was scared you wouldn't believe me." There was no way he was making this up. His eyes were wide with fear. He told me things had gone missing from his room. His iPad would move from his bed and turn up somewhere completely different. I can see what you're saying is his brother. "I thought it was you doing it at first, Mum. Then I realised it wasn't," he said sheepishly.
"You need to check yourself."
"Come here," I said, grabbing Kieran in a big hug. But as I held him close, I wondered what I was going to do. Part of me hoped this was all his imagination, but deep down, I knew it wasn't. I'd hope this chat might clear the air.
But it didn't. Kieran and I were arguing all the time. He was like a completely different person. I barely recognised my sweet boy in this angry, snarling youth that started to spend loads of time on his own, like in the bathroom, locked in and not letting anyone come through.
Well, you know why.
"I have all of the meat."
Yeah.
The atmosphere at home had changed too. Even before Kieran had told me about the dark figure, I'd felt something was off about the house. Now there was a strange smell coming out of his bedroom.
Oh, God.
"That's really strange."
It wasn't just Kieran's stuff that had been going missing. Some of my crystals vanished too.
Oh, she's into crystals.
Yes,
and all
of
that.
Course she is.
Okay. I started to get the sense that I wasn't alone in the house. When I was potting around, doing the housework or watching TV, I had the feeling that something was watching me. And whatever it wasn't a benign presence. It felt draining, evil.
Teenagers.
I wasn't the only one to sense it. My partner felt it too. I told my family what was going on, and although I wasn't sure how much they believed, they stopped calling round to visit.
How helpful of them.
"I felt like something was watching me in the toilet, love," Mum admitted when I asked her about it. It's probably Ruth.
"I've been watching you sitting on the toilet."
I took to sleeping downstairs in the living room as the presence seemed to mainly stay upstairs. But with me and Kieran out of the way, the evil thing moved on to Owen. That's the other son,
oh,
right?
Oh, bloody hell, yeah.
One night when he was lying in bed, he became aware he wasn't alone. A black shadow was looming over him. "Kill them," it hissed. "Kill them." It whispered these words into Owen's ears until eventually he leapt out of his bed, terrified, and ran downstairs to find me. "The thing's in my room. It's telling me to kill you, Mum," he blurted out.
Yeah, that's quite serious, though,
yes.
Isn't it, Linda?
Yes.
No, stop laughing! Fucking...
I couldn't believe what I was hearing. No, nor can I. It was bad enough that the presence had destroyed our happy environment and created arguments and tensions to the point where people have stopped visiting
yeah,
us.
Yeah, this is serious stuff.
Clinton, will you tell this lady?
Yes, I will. Christ's sake, Linda.
Now it was threatening me and my son in our own home. Yeah. Enough was enough. I had to put a stop to this. But how?
I asked around. And I got a local bloke with some experience.
You'll do.
Through checker trade in clearing evil spirits from homes. It didn't come to me to get rid of presents, but it didn't work. The atmosphere at home was as sinister and heavy as ever. Then in July 2021, I found psychic and exorcist Mickey Vermooch on Facebook.
Is his name Mickey Vermooch?
Mickey Vermooch.
Oh, right, I thought it was like some sort of gangster name.
No, Mickey Vermooch, no, Vicky Vermooch. We started messaging online and I told him what had been going on. Then he dropped his bombshell.
Oh, that was rude. "That sounds like a demon," he said to me. "You need to get rid of it at once."
Yeah, don't get too technical, Mickey.
Mickey Vermooch dropped everything. He's dropping things all over the shop. And drove 160 miles south with his working partner from Yorkshire to Birmingham just to help me. It's as if he had nowhere else to do.
Yeah.
As the pair of them stepped into our house, Mickey shuddered. "This is no ordinary demon," he said. "It's the Lord of the Flies, Beelzebub himself."
Anyway, there's a rather long story here where... What?
Beelzebub has got loads of shit to do. Why is he hanging around in some teenage boy's
because
bedroom?
Because he's been... Sorry, listeners, this moron doesn't know anything about... Because they done a Ouija board and they raised spirits. Thank you. Anyway, Mickey managed to get rid of spirit. After he left, I was worried that the demon would return, but it didn't.
Funny things
went back to normal, and now we can all sleep in our own beds again. My partner moved back in. Yeah, we moved out. Nice to have a man in the house to be brave.
And
he's restored to his usual tranquil environment. Best of all, the terrible arguments have stopped and Kieran's back to his usual happy, chatty self. I wouldn't wish what happened on our worst enemy. Even a homemade Ouija board is not to be met with. So if you're reading this, right, and if you're listening to this and you have children, make sure they stay away from such things. They're not a game. They're very dangerous. I should know. After all, my family went to hell and back. Literally. And that is the moral of the story. Don't let kids muck around with this stuff. Do you understand?
Although it literally is a game. I think Waddington's made it, didn't they?
What, a Ouija board game?
The first
Ouija
boards. Well,
that's bloody outrageous.
Yeah.
Which leads you very, very nicely to this. Do you remember I said we wanted to go on hauntedplaces.org?
Yeah.
It's a review site where people go around and you know, go and review haunted sites.
Yeah, it's
basically
like TripAdvisor.
Oh, very good. TripAdvisor. Let me find this bloody thing.
Thank you,
Linda, with her pawn on. Hold on, just a minute. Brilliant.
Welcome.
Quite brilliant for that rather brilliant pawn play on words. Oh my goodness, the judges' scores are in.
And
the judges have their scores. Craig Revelhold,
10.
Yes. Tripe Advisor wins. Anyway, get on with it. Anyway, the point is, I went on this and I thought, let's not just look at Britain. Let's open the whole thing out. There's no reason it just has to be Essex, we did last time, didn't we?
Yeah.
And I looked at this East Street, Tewkesbury, Massachusetts, right? This is as graveyard. Spooky music. Look, this is a review of this place, right?
The name is Doesn't Matter. They don't even want to put their name to it.
They don't want to put their name to it, quite rightly.
Do not attempt to touch or go near these graves. I broke out in a horrible rash that definitely was not poison ivy or anything like that I've seen before. I have scars all over my arms from the blisters I got. I was with my kids, and neither one of them got what I did.
With the kids? Bloody ridiculous.
And thank God they didn't. I touched one of them.
The crossed, meant to say
the
crosses
that seemed to be leaning sideways, and I got very sick after leaving, and I've had very, very horrible luck since. Something tells me there's a lot of troubled souls that aren't happy that we were left behind with just a number. Leave them be.
This is the point. Don't take your kids to these bloody things.
No, why would you? That sounds like mayhem.
This is another person reviewing a similar place, Tewkesbury Hospital. This is Ashley Savard. Uh-huh. I am at Tewkesbury State Hospital. Hold on, I'm at Tewkesbury and I have herded.
Oh dear.
You don't get the brightest people right on these. I'm at Tewkesbury State Hospital and I have herded noises around here and I'm believing it is haunted also, and the cemetery too as well.
Heavily medicated, that person.
This is Sawhill Row Hotel. Please send in your reviews for any site. Redstone, Colorado, from Leslie. She speaks in a similar way. No question in my mind, a woman ghost is there. I was in Redstone with my kids again. And mother, in 1994. We stayed on, I think, the third floor. In the middle of the night, I felt a woman's hair wipe across my face.
Wipe.
It was odd because I was dead asleep and somehow I knew it was a woman's hair. I also somehow knew it was red hair.
Because you were making it up.
No. It was terrifying since no one else was awake. It was so... Anyway, blah, blah, blah. Can I just say...
What a load of old crap.
This reminded me of something. I stayed at the premiering in Edinburgh.
Did you have some hair wiped across? Wiped.
Do you know what I had? You know, I'm on this diet.
Yeah.
And I got up, and I thought, well, I managed to go on tour without having a single sausage on tour.
What?
Not one sausage.
Unheard of.
When you go to a premier inn, the breakfast
it's a sausage fest, literally.
It's all bacon and sausage. It's all pork based, pig based. And I went down, I thought, I will have my fruit salad. And there was a lovely, charming Eastern European lady there showing people to the seats. Have you been to a... Scottish, isn't it? Have you been to a Harvester? No, not Harvester. Have you been to a Premier Inn before breakfast? As we've discussed before, yes. What's to know? I can see there's some hot food.
You've got your cereals.
You've got your cereals. You've got your hot food. Anyway, I've got my fruit salad, right? And I kid you not, there was a bloody big black hair.
A pube?
No, it was not a pube. That would have been awful. From her head. And I was thinking, oh, she's so lovely. And I even thought, what a lovely head of hair. Until it ended up in my mouth. And it made made me feel sick.
That is sick-making, isn't it?
That is really sick-making.
Have you ever done it where you kind of half swallow it?
No! Bloody hell. No,
I used to have very long hair, and it happened every now and again.
Yeah.
Sort of reverse hatchet.
Oh, God, it was so disgusting. And I had to push away my fruit salad. And
too hairy.
It was in my head the whole time. It was a very thick hair.
Wiry
hair. So sod that for a game of song. Anyway, Harry Brady, spooky music.
Harry Brady,
right. This is about 2020. This is about 2020. No, this is about 2002, and if I remember correctly, I smelled the smoke in the hallway adjoining the master bedrooms in the castle hotel. And I was touched up one arm and down the other and had my hair tugged a little bit in Lady B's sitting room. The tour guide tried to blow it off, right? The tour guide...
Wow, they really want that tip.
That's a hell of a hotel to stay at. The tour guide tried to blow it off in front of the other guests. Oh, the hair, is it? No, tried to blow off the suggestion,
oh,
presumably.
Oh, right, yeah.
Tried to blow it off. blow it off in front of the other guests. But at the end of the tour, she told us some of her experiences. All of my pictures there turned out normally. But Hotel Colorado is another story. So, yeah, please send in your reviews
yes.
of these haunted places. And don't take your bloody kid. Just one more I just wanted to deal with here. Please tell me, this is the Wayne Hotel.
In Jewel Street, Alberta.
Alberta!
Okay, we're doing these voices, are we?
Yeah. Well...
I'm
not
visiting the Wayne Hotel.
No, not that's too much.
Was once Rose Deer Hotel.
Down a bit, yeah.
Years ago, and yeah. I know for sure there was at least two ghosts who lived there. Victoria and Robert are their names. I rented the number 6 room, and it was the room that Victoria passed away in. She does not like cold at all, and she proved that to me. I had turned on the ceiling fan and a portable fan in one of many nights I had stayed there. Most times I had been in fall time, so no fans needed. No one cares!
too much mention of fans. No more fans, please.
So I had asked for a fan in the room.
Fan.
It was a hot July night. Staff made sure I got a fan with 3 speeds and I went to bed. Specifics on the fan there.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it does have relevance as it goes.
So I fell asleep around midnight. I woke up and it was so hot in the room you'd think one was in a steam room. I got up and noticed the fan was off and the ceiling fan was also off. No one was in here, so how could the fans be off? Flipping it. I know, I would have heard the door open and close, plus I had it locked. In the morning, I went down to mix and mingle with staff. They don't like that.
No.
And I asked, do you guys have timers on the fans? Do your breakers on the fans blow during the night? They said no to both questions, and then I told them why and what happens. That was when I was told Victoria does not like cool air or cold, so she shut them off.
She shut off the fans. Wow, I'm so glad to have been there with Victoria. What an amazing feeling to be among the ghosts of Alberta. Just don't expect the fans to do their job. I am now always wary when I go into other hotel with fans too.
Leave the fans alone.
Oh, please. If you are going to review something, can you make it better than that shite? Dear me. And no fan talk. Time now to return to... I know that people loved him. He was our expert on... What was it? British medieval music. Folk music. British folk music.
Oh, yes. I remember that
fella. And I spoke to him earlier about, well, sea shanties. on a similar sort of vein. Have a listen to this.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
With me is Richard DeLong Stone. We had him on before. He's very, very popular. He knows all about British folk music. And I thought I'd get in touch with him this week to discuss sea shanties, which very much has a haunted tradition, a paranormal tradition, mermaids, sightings, ghosts seen on the high seas. And I'm happy to say Richard is joining me now. Richard, tell me, how do sea shanties feature in your work?
Well, you talk about the sea being shrouded in mystery. The history of sea shanties themselves is itself shrouded in mystery. Nobody really knows how they started. We guess the earliest records we really have are about the 1400s. Right. Essentially, the working songs.
Right.
Imagine you've got a crew and you've got to do something as dangerous as pulling up an anchor, and you need everybody to be in time with each other doing that action. You've got somebody leading. You need a rhythm going. So it's got to be done in rhythm. What's the best way to get a rhythm going? Is through song. And this really is where shanties began.
Tell me, are they written down? Is it from an oral tradition?
It's more of an oral tradition. You would have the lead singer was known as the shanty man.
Right.
No shanty women, I'm afraid, for all the wokarati out there. We are talking men. We're talking men here.
Okay.
On these
well,
ships.
I mean, I don't suppose that many women who went to sea, really.
Well, the there time. Would have been, but that's for another conversation.
Right. Okay.
But you've got a leader who would be singing the main lyrics of the song, what you might call the verse, right. And then that's intermittently there's a sort of short chorus. It's like a question and answer. They would improvise a song. The shanty man would make up the story. And, of course, some of those stories would have survived and been passed down through the generations, as you say.
And what with particular, because it's a paranormal podcast, are there any that are particularly, supernatural in their content?
Well, in the evening, they might get together and they'd have some rum or whatever they're going to drink. And then there'd be the sort of haunted shanties.
Have you got anything in mind you could just give us with a haunted shanty? I'm turning the lights down in the studio.
I'm trying to remember it. I've got a recording of Ewan McCall singing this somewhere, but I'll try and remember. He was actually called the Jolly Hangman.
The Jolly Hangman? Not very jolly if you had to face him. Well, no doubt, Richard. No.
Yeah, not so funny if you were there at the time, obviously.
At the time, sorry.
Because, that was really happening to these are real people we're talking about. Hang'em Ho was the... Hang'em High Boys, Hang'em Ho. Hang'em High Boys, Hang'em Ho. That would be the, yeah. That's the chorus. Hang 'em high, boys, hang 'em ho. I was a man of Dublin City. Hang 'em high, boys, hang 'em ho. You see how it goes?
Yeah, yeah. Do you want me to join in or?
You can do if you want. It's up to you.
Okay. Go on then.
There was a man of Dublin City.
Hang 'em high, boys, hang 'em low.
John Farrell was his name.
Hang 'em high, boys, hang 'em ho.
He'd take them off his crew. Hang 'em high, boys, hang 'em ho. More than one and more than two. Hang 'em, boys, and hang 'em them. Strung them up, he did. Hang 'em, boys, hang 'em ho. Until their gizzards fell from them.
Hang 'em, boys, hang 'em ho.
Along came the French, then one day. Hang 'em, boys, and hang 'em. They're refugees in a boat. Hang 'em, boys, and hang 'em. They realise that the best thing, hang 'em, boys, and hang 'em, boys, was to string 'em all up and hang 'em all. Hang 'em, boys, and hang 'em. String up the French, yes, string up the French. Hang 'em, boys, hang 'em. They're stealing a fish in Brussels. And the boys hang them up. The bureaucrats in the EU hang them up, boys, hang them up. Allowing refugees to come here. On their boats at Dover. Hang them up, boys, hang them up. They just come in their swarms and we cannot stop them because the government just don't care about the fact that this country is being taken over by people that actually don't belong here.
Richard, please go back to where they came from. You see where it goes.
Okay.
Can you stop? Just a second. That's not a traditional sea shanty. That's just you going
no,
on
No, but
that
I'm showing you about what happens when the passion takes over. This is what the shanty man would have done. He would have sung about issues of the day. The issues of his day would have been scurvy, Lyme disease, battles with the French and other nations. Our issues of today are, of course, the fact that this government are allowing people to come to these shores and just take over, take the jobs. They say they're escaping war. Really? Where's this war? Show me this war.
Okay,
there were
Richard.
War in those days, with the Napoleonic days, where sea shanties came from.
A little less of the Nazi diatribe. Right, Richard, can I tell
you something? When we were a proper nation, we fought the Nazis. When we were a real nation, before we became this woke nightmare.
Well, we're not talking about that, Richard, are we? I asked you to tell me, like, maybe sing me a song about a fucking ghost or something, and you're going on about the bloody refugees at the bottom of the English Channel.
Because I'm trying to demonstrate to you that sea shanties
are about
real issues.
I know what you're trying to demonstrate, mate.
Real people and real issues. So what I'm doing is letting that come through my spirit, if you want to call that.
All right, I've got it. Can you just, let's just stop with that song. I just want another one, just a lovely song, a sea shanty about ghosts and that. Can you just manage that, please? Just scrub that one.
There are things in 18th century ones. Sally.
All right, Sally, that sounds nice.
She was a fair maiden.
A fair maiden, a ghostly fair maiden.
Again,
like
Dublin. There's quite a lot of mentions. Dublin and Liverpool get a lot of mentions in sea shanties.
Okay, nice.
Because, of course, they were ports, and a lot of the men would have gone there, and they would have, you know, sometimes picked up women.
Okay, well.
And Sally is a story of a woman who was picked up and actually ended up on board. She wanted to go away to the tropics.
Right, okay.
With these merchant seamen, but unfortunately it didn't go well for her, and her ghost then haunted the ship.
This is the sort of thing, this is very much in tune with my podcast. If you've got something like that, let's hear that one. Maybe
I think the chorus is just Sally O, Sally O, Sally O, Sally O,
haunting
to Dublin did we go, Sally O, Sally, because of course there's a pun there, because Sally means to sort of go forth, isn't it, as well?
Sally forth, yeah, of course.
Sally, oh, Sally, oh. And the captain found a maiden, Sally, oh, boy, Sally, oh. A fair Colleen was she, Sally, oh, Sally, oh. And they did fall a love. Fall a love, that's nice, isn't it?
Fall a love, fall beautiful. A love.
Sally, oh boy, Sally, on board the ship she stowed away, Sally, oh boy, Sally, but scurvy it soon took her, Sally, oh boy, Sally. So on to a little boat she went, Sally, oh boy, Sally, and headed up to Dover, Sally, oh boy, Sally, and in the middle of the channel, Sally, oh boy, Sally, a boat full of supposedly Syrian refugees, Sally, oh boy, Sally, because they're actually criminals being paid by the Russians to come here and spy. As she came with them to Dover port, she got in scot-free, was given a council house. And then lived her life on benefits just like everyone else.
Richard.
She stole from the British. She stole from us. Because she thought
hell,
she
Richard,
had the God-given
please.
Right to just come
right,
here
I've had
and steal
of this.
From us.
Right. Thank you, Richard. Don't come back to the show again. Thanks a lot.
Well,
goodbye.
Thank you.
Fucking idiot. Well, I did promise you a best of. In case you missed it before, in case you want to hear it again, this is when I was trying in vain to get hold of Yvette Fielding, quite a lot earlier in the year. So, after that, As you know this, Linda, I wrote Yvette a poem.
Yes.
Didn't I? A lovely, lovely poem. Not like the last one, not a rude one. A nice one, and I bought her some flowers.
Yeah, nice ones as well.
Really nice flowers.
Not
from the petrol station. And I took them to where Karen Fitzgerald suggested, and this is what happened. Right, well, I'm just on my way now to the station, where I'm going to catch a train to get up. Well, I'm not going to say exactly where I'm going, to meet, hopefully, Yvette. I've got with me a poem I've written for her and some rather lovely 12 red roses. A little bit romantic, but it's something of an apology. Join us shortly when hopefully we'll be outside Yvette's house. Right, well, I'm just at the station. Gonna head up very shortly. Was that my train? Hold on. Gonna head up very shortly to, not gonna tell you where I'm going, but it's somewhere up north, that's all I'll say. All right, join us when we get to Yvette's place. Got me flowers, got me poem. Right. Well, I'm in a lovely part of the world. This is where Yvette lives. I think they call this a gated community. I just managed to get in here. Sure, there's probably cameras all over me. But yes, I'm just going up to her. If this is her place, she's done very well for herself. That's nice. Look at that. Security cameras everywhere. Got me red roses, and I've got me poetry I've written. Let's see if she's in.
Hello.
Hello. Is Yvette Fielding in, please?
Who's asking?
Well, I'm. I've been in touch. I've tried to get in touch with her. It's just someone, an acquaintance.
How have you tried to get in touch with her?
Well, I've spoken to her agent. I've just brought a little delivery. I've got some roses here, and it was a card. A card for her.
Don't you think that's a bit odd?
Sorry?
I said, don't you think that's a bit odd? Not knowing whether or not she lives here or not, and you're turning up with roses.
Does she live here?
I'm telling you whether she does or she doesn't.
Okay, well, I was given her address. Can I just not just... I mean, is she in?
I think you should be on your way.
Well, don't be like that. I've brought some... I've just got some flowers. Couldn't I just... Well, I'll tell you what, I'll leave them down here on the... Just leave them here on the doorstep. Hold on. And I've got a card. I've written something to... Well... Couldn't I just come in just briefly, just to see her?
I said, get on your way.
I've come quite a long way. No. Just a sec. All right.
Get on your way. Right, you can take your flowers. Give us a...
Oh,
this.
Oh, no, you don't have to... No, what's come this? On. It's a little poem. I don't have to read it out.
No. Yvette. Yvette, I'm beset with regret about you, Yvette. I want to make amends. I was only joking about your show. I wish we could be friends.
Yeah, you don't have to read it. No, it's all right. It was for her, really.
Jesus Christ. You're a fabulous host. You can conjure a ghost, a skill that you truly have mastered. Accept these red roses, but don't tell your husband, because I've heard he's quite a hard bastard. Jesus Christ.
Right, well, it wasn't your eyes.
Turn that. Get out.
You don't have to... No.
What? An absolute fucking disgrace.
Right, OK. Thank you. Come all this way.
Right,
OK. Well, thanks very much. Of course, we started off the year trying to get in touch with what we called, what we unearthing the fakers, what was it? Sorting out the charlatans, something like that, we rather brilliantly called it.
We used that old fella from next door and he rang up, tosses on the 0898 numbers, didn't they?
That's right. So that's right. Barry, yeah, he phoned up, that's right, to try and get...
He was debunking all over the shop, wasn't he?
Debunking. Well, have a listen to this. This is Barry earlier in the year.
And I wondered if you could just do me a reading, you know.
Sometimes the most common one that people like, it's relatively quick, is maybe a past, present and future reading.
Sounds lovely. Is it cheaper to just do like three cards, is it, that then sort of thing?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on your budget, but it's economical, so it's all down to what people want to spend, I suppose.
Yeah, well... Yes, I don't want to spend too much in case it's a load of nonsense. But what do you need from me as well?
Okay,
what I'm asking.
This is your name, so I've got your name.
Barry.
Barry, lovely. So I can connect with the name,
okay.
So that's fine with me.
Yeah.
And what I'll do... is I'll just shuffle the cards.
Right.
Because we're not doing a question, so you don't need to tell me anything. I can just focus on you and your past, present and future.
Yeah.
And then what I'll do is I'll just turn over the cards.
Right.
And then the first one will be your past.
Past.
The next one will be your present.
Yes, then the other one I'll present. I'm not an idiot. Yes, you said
I'm
that.
Sorry, I know, because you said you're a novice. I thought I'd break it down.
No, well, I'm not a complete fucking idiot. But, okay.
Okay, I'm just shuffling the cards now.
Yes, okay.
Okay, so I'm cutting the cards now. Okay. Oh,
it sounds promising, but it's about my past, is it?
What we've got here is the tower. Okay.
Right.
And if I just describe the picture to you, if you're not really familiar with
towers.
And don't be too put off by how I describe
it. Okay, yes, go on, the tower, yes.
So it's a tower, it's a burning tower.
Oh, Christ, yeah.
And there's people falling from it.
Fucking hell, yeah. There's not a, a man who, I used to know a man called Peter Barnett, and it didn't fall out of town, but it did fall off a ladder and is doing some windows. Is there a man in there? He's in a sort of worker's outfit, quite bald.
No.
Quite a big tummy.
But there is someone who's falling out from him. Sorry to hear that your friend did hurt himself.
It is. I mean, he wasn't on fire or anything. I mean, he always claimed to do the windows, really. I think he was really out there trying to look at ladies' bottoms, really. But he got his comeuppance and he's come downance as well, pretty quickly, right on his fucking head. But it's not. So Peter's not there, sort of thing. Does it? I'm sorry to be specific. I mean, there's nothing in there about a lady I used to know in the 50s. So.
Well, you know, it could. I mean, it's your past.
Yeah.
That's how far we want to go back, and if that really resonates with you.
It resonates. Helen Weimark. Helen Weimark. Can that name appear in at all in you?
Well, we don't necessarily. I don't necessarily think.
Quite a short lady. Quite short, with a slow eye.
Well,
she not appearing.
I don't see that, but you know, if that resonates with you, that's possibly, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
She pulled the rug from under me. I don't go into too many details, but I did like her, you know. Never saw her again, really. That fella jumping out the window wasn't me when her husband come back from work, was it? 1952? No.
Okay, so that's your past. However, when you look at the card, you know it's the burning building. It feels like there's been something that's happened that maybe has collapsed or something that's pulled from under you, a bit of a panic.
Yes.
However, you did escape.
I did escape.
God,
just about.
And you've
bleeding nutcase, that bloke. Yeah, gone, sorry. I come out stronger. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And fucking hell, he nearly did kill me, that fella, I'll tell you that. Sorry.
So should we look at what's happening maybe now?
Yes, please.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, please.
Right, so what I've pulled for you is the Four of Wands. So let me just firstly just explain and what that might represent.
All right, my love.
Could be your spiritual side of life, or maybe your passions, or your enthusiasm, and something about achieving. So it's all quite fiery energy that's around you.
There is a fiery energy around me. Very fiery energy around me. I like bowls. I go to the bowls club. Nothing about me winning the quarterfinals is there of the Hertfordshire Cup, don't say nothing.
Well, you never know, it talks about how you can be looking to achieve something.
It's very broad though, isn't it? It's very vague all this, Kate, isn't it?
I think a lot of it sounds like it's actually speaking to you, Barry. A lot of things that you said kind of resonate with you, you know.
It's a week on Saturday.
Maybe you will. Maybe that's quite a nice thing to. If you're going into a competition, then maybe that will pay off and all the hard work of practicing will actually get something from that.
Bloody hope so. I was hoping you might be to tell me whether I would, you know. Don't say that I will get something out of it necessarily. What does it say the future brings, please?
The future. I think it's actually the Six of Pentacles, which...
I've got something wrong with my what?
It's the Six of Pentacles.
I've got six testicles. Can you speak up? Sorry.
The Six of Pentacles, like a coin.
A coin, yeah.
Yeah, so like a coin, six of them.
Yeah, okay, six of a coin, yeah, okay. Sorry, I thought I was having a bit of trouble down below. I did know a man who had three testicles at one stage when I'd done my national service. He tried to get out of it by bleeding three balls, and they said, no, you have to do it. He said, no, I got three nuts. I'm a triosphoid. Do you understand? I'm a triosphere, he says. I got three nuts. I said, no, you still got to do it, but six! Having a bit of a laugh with you, Kate, no matter. Sorry, what does it say, the sixth pentacle?
Yeah, the six of pentacles, yeah. And it's all about material aspects of your
okay.
life.
Okay, yes. So,
but it also can be associated with your self-esteem or your self-image.
Well, I do have, I think, a lot of myself, or I need to think more than myself.
I think it's positive. It's about sort of, maybe because you've won the bowls,
right.
You're feeling good, or you might have even got a material gain from that. I don't know if you win any money from doing that competition, but it's talking about potentially then material gain as yeah. well. Give you a little bit of extra in the pocket.
Yes, I don't know. Well, if I had six testicles, I wouldn't need any more extra in my pocket. No, the thing is, Kate, you say that, you know, I feel good about my appearance and all that, but you ain't seen me. I know you don't know nothing about me, but I'm quite an elderly man. And it's all gone, really. I used to look a lot nicer than this. Didn't look like this all my life, no. Lovely girlfriend, Helen Weimar. You know, things are going well. Just opened my first shop. I'm a greengrocer. No, it's all gone. I can't see
me. Sure, it hasn't, Barry.
No.
I'm sure you look great for your age.
Well,
you're only as young as you feel.
Well, I feel bloody awful, so, you know. Well, I've got to say, Kate, it's been very vague, isn't it? Very, very vague. Well, yes.
Well, I mean, it's all personal opinion.
Yeah, I know.
I feel like we've got to each card that we've pulled, I feel like we've got some meaning behind it, haven't we?
Yeah, the meaning, isn't it? I mean, I think you talk about someone who's maybe taking me money, taking me for a ride. I'll say, it's your bleeding switchboards, but I will thank you, my love. Thank you.
Thank you, and it's been lovely talking to you.
Have a nice evening. Lovely voice.
And you. Take care.
God bless. Bye-bye. Yes.
Speak to you soon, hopefully.
Bye.
Jesus
Christ, what's a load of bollocks?
Your network provider has charged £75.78 to your account for your psychic reading call. Thank you, and have a nice day.
The producers Peters Fox Limited have used this recording in good faith and made every effort to disguise the company of the switchboard used and the psychics contacted, who were in turn remunerated for their participation in this podcast. Thank you.
Just before we leave, that there was one occasion this year when Linda was nearly on the verge of being convinced.
The willies were halfway up, yeah.
The willies were halfway up, and it was this lady in our public service special, the nurse.
Oh, God, yeah.
This is scary. Have a listen to this.
But yeah, there's quite a few things, and I've obviously seen my fair share of people who've passed away and things that have happened while they've been passed away. And I've worked all across the world, but the stuff that's happened in the NHS has been probably the most memorable.
Oh, God. That is absolutely terrifying. Claire, can you tell us what else you've seen in the NHS, please? Hold on just a sec. Put the spooky music on, please.
Do we need it?
Yeah, go on.
Yeah.
Okay, shoot.
So I was once in a nursing home, and this was an all-cares nursing home, so they were unable to do almost anything by themselves, the residents. And they would buzz you on the morning when it was their time that they wanted to get up. So we started moving everyone into this kind of breakfast lounge area, and I had a buzz from a gentleman, and I went into his room and started to get him ready for breakfast.
Okay.
And I gave him a shave, and normally the elderly gentleman like you to use kind of a cutthroat razor, but this gentleman had an electric razor, and I shaved him and got him all ready, did his teeth, and the shaver just kept going off on its own, and I kept switching it off, and it kept going back on. I said, what is it with this razor? And the old gentleman just smiled and he went, you'll get used to it. And I just thought it was a dodgy razor. And then as I got him in his chair and we're wheeling towards the lounge area, but all the lights were flickering, and I just again thought, oh, dodgy lights.
Yes.
But I'd just been in this room, in this lounge, and bear in mind they're all care, so they're unable to do, certainly unable to walk by themselves. And as I walked into the room with Will and this gentleman in, all the breakfast chairs were all piled up against each other in the centre of the room.
Oh,
they were
God.
All kind of stacked in front of each other, and all the residents were just kind of smiling and giggling. Of course, I asked the staff, and the staff just said, oh, you know, you just accept it. That's just what happens here.
Rewind. Oh, they were all giggling. Is that because, you know, is it because they'd done it themselves?
I'd like to think so, but they couldn't do anything unless they were lying. But they couldn't do anything themselves. They couldn't dress or...
Go on, sorry, I nearly shit myself. Carry on.
Yeah, no, they definitely wouldn't have been able to. They couldn't even feed themselves or walk. So these were residents that certainly wouldn't have been able to lift chairs and stack them on top of each other.
But they were... they were giggling.
That makes it more...
Yes, they were. No, they were. That was freaky, yeah.
Oh, my God. were the tables and... I mean, look, I've heard all this stuff before. I'm a firm believer. Tell me, they were definitely stacked up in such a way, sort of like quickly, almost instantaneously, do you think?
Yes, yes.
Bloody Nora.
That sent a chill all the way up my spine, down my back, round my nutsack, and down...
That's a delicious level of detail.
Under my bottom.
I always try and reach for the obvious explanation, but there ain't one, is there?
Oh, come on.
Yeah, because she's a witch.
And trust you. Come on. But what do you think it was then, Linda?
Well, it can't have been a ghost, can it?
I tell you what they were.
Linda's Sagittarius.
That's what it was. Well... Claire Grant, I'm sorry that you had to hear that. You have been absolutely superb. And if you see any more bloody ghosts or any more spiritual, paranormal, you know, poltergeistial, you know, experience, if you experience anything like that, will you please get back in touch with us?
I will do. Will do.
And I think both Linda and myself would like to thank you for a wonderful set of stories, and B, for your service.
So very special. Thank you.
Thank you.
I don't remember anyone standing outside their house banging at a pot and applauding when I gave my readings. Yours is a proper job, my love.
Who needed a pay rise?
Have you got a pay rise?
No.
It's a bloody disgrace.
Got to bank those claps, apparently.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, bank those claps. But she is a bank nurse or something, she said, so never got the bottom of that. Right.
Very good.
Claire, thank you so much, my love.
You're very welcome. Lovely
really
to meet you.
Really appreciate it. Oh, and thank you for... Are you coming to see the show, Clinton Barnes?
I am.
Where?
Sunny Barnsley. End of October, I believe.
One of my favourites. One of my favourite venues, the Civic in Barnsley.
That's it.
Bit of a rowdy audience one year. Were you there for that one? There was one year, there was a rowdy audience. The bastard.
Probably me.
Up the road, just next to that, is that lovely... Which I won't be going to this year because I've lost a lot of weight and I'm being all healthy. Is that Eat As Much As You Can Argentinian food place. Do you know that one? What's it called?
You say eat as much as you can. It's as much as you like, in it.
Not as much as you can cram in.
I
know. I did get told off for taking a sleeping bag with me. And a bucket. Right. Claire, thank you so much. Lots of love to you. I'll see you in Barnsley. Come and say hello.
I will.
What a year it's been.
Oh, it's been so much fun, Clinton. Thank you so much for bringing me back on board.
I really hope that you can come back and you don't get this job and you just come back here for peanuts.
Well...
every week.
Thank you, I think.
Thank you all for listening. We're in for a wonderful 2023 because I've seen it. I can see it. I'm clairvoyant.
Right, it's going to be all right, is it?
Oh, it's going to be a bloody corker, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, have a lovely new year if you're going out.
Oh, yes.
If
you're stopping in to just enjoy the 12 dongs at home.
Yeah.
Will you be enjoying the 12 dongs on New Year's Eve?
Well, I've got my fingers crossed. You can see the future, Clinton.
Yes, I can see you with 12 dongs in your front room. Pathetic. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, until next time. I think he means penile. Yeah, it's a sort of pathetic double entendre. Until next time, lots of love. Namaste.
Bye.
Namaste. Well, thanks for attending. I hope I wasn't offending. Your ears too much. Please stay in touch in 2023. Thanks for sticking with this podcast, and I tell you what, I think things will probably get better on the podcast because, you know, I won't be touring too much. I can devote more time. And now,
It's time to say goodbye. I want to thank Linda. I want to thank Bradley Holcomb. All the people who, you know, contributed, who we played from earlier in the year. Richard DeLongstone, Duncan Wisby, Barry from Watford, Yvette, and you for listening. Whatever you're doing, have a wonderful new year.
Namaste.
Of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Yeah, right. Clinton Baptiste here, offering you the chance to enjoy my Patreon podcast for free for 7 days. So many people have been joining me over there. It's a shame that you're not. We've got videos, cartoons, we've got all sorts of stuff, all the old back catalogue, and a chance for exclusive dibs on tickets before anyone else. Please come to patreon.com/Clinton Baptiste. All right, spirit fading now. See you there. Fading now.